We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You wanna see Loco?
Welcome to Miami, where them boys used to touch tourists on a daily basis. Duck charges, therefore hardly caught cases.
Like it, Solana. You do it on a Monday. You feeling it today, Solana?
I am. I think Miami took a big hit on Saturday night. Our toes were stepped on. But we're going to rally. We're coming out strong today, guys. We're coming out as strong as ever.
Right. We're still repping. It doesn't matter. And not just literally were Jorge Masvidal's toes stepped on, but just as a state, we're getting dunked on for COVID. Yeah. We're getting our toes stepped on. If Florida is the toe of the United States, we're getting our toes stepped on. Deservedly so, by the way. All right, it's a Monday, and it is the Loco Hour. Hockman and Crowder, and Dono is in once again for Channing Crowder, who's on paternity. Did you say he's coming back next week? You know better than I do, Dono.
Monday is what I heard, the 20th.
Monday, okay. All right, so one more week, and then Crowder will be here, and we'll be back in action. There is a ton to get to today. Jorge Masvidal and Usman, did it live up to the hype in your mind, Dono? And when I say live up to the hype, it wasn't like we were looking forward to this for 6 months. He was a last-minute fill-in, but we talked about it a lot, and I think a lot of people were excited about the fight card Saturday night.
No, I don't think the main event lived up to the hype, and that's kind of a testament to how just strict and good with his game plan Usman was, because Kamaru Usman was not fighting to entertain. He was fighting to win. And his strategy was, hey, I've got an opponent who's not as good of a wrestler as I am and is probably not in as great shape as I'm in because he only took this fight 6 days ago. So let me wear him down with takedowns and clinch work. Let me stomp on his toes a little bit throughout five rounds and just negate all of his offense. And it worked. Usman executed his game plan to a T, and he won the fight fair and square. Just unfortunately, people who, you know, and I thought the overall card was very good, don't get me wrong, but if anyone just shelled out $65 just to watch the main event, hoping it was going to be a wild slugfest, you didn't get your money's worth for that, because Usman just did a good job kind of taking away Masvidal's offense.
Yeah, and I would say the card, though, was good. Even the prelims on ESPN, I thought, were very entertaining, and I was watching him, obviously, because we had wagers on it. And I'll tell everybody later on in the show how Lee Sterling did, how our wagers did, but we'll talk a little UFC 251. There's several things we have to get to today. I know the breaking news, and we'll get to headlines here in a moment. The breaking news, Russell Westbrook has tested positive for COVID. The ACC, Dono and I were talking about before we came on the air here, the ACC. What were they going to be, like virtual media days, essentially?
Yeah, they were just going to do it, I guess, over Zoom, where they were going to have, you know, coaches and players kind of talk to the media. But it was supposed to be, I believe, July 21st through the 23rd, and they have postponed it indefinitely, which is leading a lot of us to believe, hey, you're not going to postpone your media days if it's for good news, right? You're probably postponing it because you're reevaluating whether or not you can have a season. So I think that's where we're at.
Yeah, there's just a lot of questions to be asked about sports and specifically college football, because college football is already paring down what the season was supposed to be, with essentially all these conferences really saying that, hey, we're going to play teams within our conference, nothing else. But that's the one that I think is in the most dire straits, college football. But there's a ton going on. Basketball is forging ahead. We've all seen the Miami Heat stuff that gets posted by all the beat writers and whatnot. And like I said, Russell Westbrook has tested positive. The MLS is forging ahead. MLB will as well. Disney World reopened this weekend. Now, Florida had a record number of COVID cases over the weekend. I read something today that Florida right now is Wuhan 5 or 6 months ago. No joke. And wow. I saw Hong Kong is reclosing Hong Kong Disney. But Florida, we are forging ahead with keeping Disney open. And there's a lot to uncover. Dr. Chuck Metzger, he joins us every Monday. And he'll have our COVID update for us today in the 4 o'clock hour. Later on in the show, we will bring on our friend Dan Day because Alex Dono and Dan Day went to the drive-in movie at Hard Rock Stadium on Friday night. Saw Back to the Future. So we're going to get to that because that is going to be, I'm imagining, many stories to be told on a night out with Dan Day. Don't tease us. Don't let us know. And Ben Volen from the Boston Globe is going to join us. Washington, everyone knows by now, is changing their team name. And Ben Volen has some thoughts on that. Also, we haven't talked to him since Cam Newton went to the Patriots. John Romano from the Tampa Bay Times. Now, he's been on with us before when Tom Brady went to Tampa. But this was fascinating to me. So over the weekend, I had seen someone tweet out something about, you know, when will fans be allowed back in stadiums or whatever? And I retweeted an article back at him that in the Japanese baseball league, they're allowing up to 5,000 fans per game right now. And I thought that was fascinating. And then I found out that the USL, the United Soccer League here in America, is allowing fans at their games. And the Tampa Bay Rowdies, who are in the USL now, they had a game Saturday night, and fans showed up. Wow. Did you know this?
I did not know it until you sent me a photo. Like, I had no clue. I had no clue. And I've called USL games before, but I had no idea they were letting fans in this year.
Yeah, so John Romano went to the game to cover it for the Tampa Bay Times and see what it was like to be at a sporting event with people right now. So we got a lot of stuff to get to today. In addition, today is Harrison Ford's birthday. He's 78. We'll get a Searing Pain movie review from Jay Figg later on in the show, and we will assign her Harrison Ford movies to watch tonight. My guess, much like Tom Hanks, my guess is she hasn't seen any Harrison Ford movies. I'm not even kidding. Like, this is how crazy it is that she's our movie reviewer. This guy's got, I think on IMDb, like 85 recognizable movies that he's been in. But I don't think she's a Star Wars fan, a Raiders of the Lost Ark fan. I mean, I just don't think she is.
If he's ever been the voice of a cartoon character, that's probably the one she's seen. Off the top of my head, I can't remember if he's ever been the voice in a cartoon, but if he has, guaranteed,
right,
that's the
like
Harrison Ford
movie. Like a Han Solo cartoon or something. Yeah. And then today is also National French Fry Day. So we will address my Mount Rushmore of French fries, which I tweeted out, and we'll get the Mount Rushmore of French fries from Dono and Solana and the rest of the crew. So this is going to be a loaded potato. Today it's a French fried potato, but a loaded potato nonetheless. Let's get headlines here with Alejandro Solana.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
I was going to weave in some sort of papa joke for French fry day there, Solana, but I didn't have enough time to work it out. That's why I hezzy. That's why I gave you the hezzy on your intro.
No better way to be brought in than with a hezzy. I love it.
I had everyone fooled with the hezzy.
Lakers guard Rajon Rondo, he's going to miss 6 to 8 weeks. He's having surgery on a fractured right thumb.
You saw who wants to take his place, right?
I do. I can't think of a better fit.
Who is it, Rio?
Mario Chalmers.
Yes! I knew
and
all you had to do was say
LeBron,
that.
Reteam him with LeBron, right? Reteam him with LeBron. Yeah, I mean,
they're
going to
win a championship
there, man.
For sure. There's absolutely
there's something there. Yeah.
The NFL, they have unveiled the Oakley Mouth Shield. It's a design that is intended to mitigate the spread of the coronavirus on the field. So very similar to how, remember Michael Vick, he had the shield to cover his eyes that would basically just be put into his face mask. This shield will be put to the bottom of the face mask, kind of acting as like a mouth guard.
All right.
The Patriot League, they will not play sports in the fall because of the coronavirus pandemic.
Now, who's the Patriot League?
I was going to say, do they really play sports anyway?
Yeah, like, I don't even know who's in it. Like, I saw that headline today.
Yeah, it's an FCS conference. I'm not trying to... Yeah, but I'm not trying to poo-poo on the FCS schools. I mean, they deserve to play football just as much as any other conference does, right?
I don't know if they do.
Okay.
Hey, hit the books, Patriot League.
4-star safety Cameron Kitchens of Northwestern. He is committed to UM, class of 2021.
Look at that. Georgetown. Georgetown is in the Patriot League. Bucknell, Colgate, Fordham. Teams that don't generally have great football programs.
Did you say Georgetown, Georgetown?
Yeah, Georgetown. Their football team is in the Patriot League.
Mm.
Because who knew they had a football team? Did you?
Nope.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
They have a basketball team. That I'm aware of.
That they do.
Yeah. Confirmed.
That they do.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty good basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
The MLS is back. Tournament continued this morning. Toronto FC blew a 2-0 lead to DC United, who was a man down.
That was wild.
Yeah, at 9 a.m., DC United, a man down. Came back to tie the game late.
The only thing that's wild is you guys both know about it.
I was watching it today. I mean, Hawks, they had, for most of the game, they were up 11 men to 10 men with a 2-0 lead. That should be safe. And then they got Gonzalo Higuain's brother is on DC United. He scores a goal. Some other dude scores a goal in the 91st minute. It was absolute chaos. Absolute chaos.
We're really doing this, huh?
Higuain's goal, phenomenal, Dono. I mean, just
beautiful
touch. Yeah, the goalkeeper comes out correctly, I think. You have to come out there in that counter touch.
I spent my morning for a sports show, so I've got my Mount Rushmore of Harrison Ford movies and French fries. So you guys obviously just dilly-dallied around all morning. I was actually doing show prep.
I have a question about French fry Mount Rushmore rules. Can you indulge me for a second? Mm-hmm. Do you want me to go with just types of fries or like actual locations?
I went with actual locations, but it had to be national or multiple, numerous locations.
Okay, you
know what I mean? Because growing up in Chicago, there was a place called Michael's. I love the cheddar fries there. That's my favorite French fry on the planet. But they've got one location,
right?
So I'm not putting that on there. So, but it's not just like waffle fries, steak fries, curly fries. No, it's the actual location.
Okay, noted.
All right.
Yeah, no, those are important parameters before constructing your Mount Rushmore. I'm glad you narrowed them.
Generally, all parameters are important.
Finally.
I just wanted to sound as into it as he did when he said that.
Doctors in Tokyo pulled a 1.5-inch worm out of a woman's tonsils.
You're not going to mention Russell Westbrook having COVID in your headlines?
Well, I mean, you kind of went through the bigger headlines.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I could have started off with, you know, Washington announcing it's going to return or retire, I should say, their name.
Right, right.
And logo, Russell Westbrook, he tested positive for COVID-19 prior to leaving for Orlando. Says he's excited to rejoin the team. I mean, you mentioned a couple of the headlines earlier on.
All right.
Yeah. Anyways, we return to this story. Fascinating story. Doctors in Tokyo pulled a 1.5-inch worm out of a woman's tonsils after she ate sashimi a few days prior.
Wow.
I probably got a lot
lodged in the tonsil. I watch this show nonstop. My wife hates it, but it's called Monsters Inside Me. And it's about parasites and how people get parasites. And oftentimes it is through food, but a lot of times it's through, you know, dirty water, or you have an open sore and you're hiking or whatnot. But that is just one of my tremendous fears because it takes so long to figure it out. You go to the doctor with a sore throat. Well, they don't think that you might have a worm or a parasite in your tonsils. You know what I mean? They go through the normal checklist. All right, you have swollen glands. You must have this. And it goes on and on and on. In the meantime, you know, these patients are experiencing excruciating pain or their body is failing. And it takes a while to figure out that oftentimes there's this unseen parasite that that has to be dealt with. So, yeah, I love that show, Monsters Inside Me.
Let's move on to weather right now.
I didn't know
South
if you had a
Florida.
Joke or a punchline for the story, so I gave you a little berth there.
Well, no, I remember you ate an octopus with a quail egg in it in Japan. Mm-hmm. You posted the story not too long ago.
Ooh, that sounds
I can only imagine what parasite you have in your body. I mean, this lady ate sashimi. You ate basically a live octopus with a quill egg.
Right. Well, it wasn't live. I mean, it was glazed. But a lot of people do believe that I was patient zero for COVID.
I had a lot of weird stuff in Japan, too. I ate, Hawk, when you were there, did you see chicken sashimi? They actually eat, like, undercooked chicken there on purpose. I ate some of that.
I did not eat that. I wouldn't eat undercooked meat, unless you're considering fish. Like, I do like sushi and sashimi, but I would never eat undercooked meat. Now, we did have Kobe beef, and it was the single greatest thing I've ever eaten in my life.
Yeah, same here. It was so
besides
good.
The Hockman burger.
Oh.
All right. You have weather, Solana?
Dale. Right now in South Florida, partly cloudy, 84 degrees. It was a monsoon as I was driving to El Portal around 11:30 noon. Yeah, it was pouring pretty badly.
Has not rained in Boca today.
Yeah. Nor in Kendall.
Yeah. Well, it was pouring in Kendall, Donna, when I left my house.
Well, look at this. Really? We have a disagreement early on in the show.
I was inside. Maybe I missed it.
Tonight, the lows will drop into the mid to upper 70, 72% humidity. Right now in Miami, a 10% chance of rain. That is your weather.
All right, we're going to talk with Ben Volen from the Boston Globe in the next segment. He covers the NFL for the Boston Globe. Obviously, big news. Washington, as Solana mentioned, retiring their name, and they will announce what their name is going to be at a later date. Also, Cam Newton to the Patriots is something worth talking about, and the NFL's plans. Ben wrote something in the Boston Globe about the NFL's plans and how they're expecting a number of players to test positive as camps open and how they're going to deal with it. So there's a lot of NFL stuff to talk about, and we will do that with Ben Volen next on Hockman and Crowder.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Finally, guys, Yoplait is selling a new line of yogurt.
It's Yoplait. Are you joking? It's Yoplait. You don't know how to pronounce Yoplait yogurt?
Yoplait is selling a new line of yogurt.
Get to weather, jackass.
You want to see Loco?
Very important Monday on Hockman and Crowder with Alex Dono filling in for Crowder. Very important because there's a lot of NFL news, which is why we're talking to Ben Volen. Or are we talking to him about Harrison Ford's 78th birthday and National French Fry Day as well? I mean, a lot of stuff going on. Let's go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Ben Volen covers the NFL and the New England Patriots for the Boston Globe. Obviously, the biggest NFL news is that Washington is going to officially retire their team name and announce a new one soon. Ben, this is long overdue, right? I mean, this is it's almost mind-numbing that they have continued on with that name.
Yeah, long overdue is putting it nicely. This is a move that was obvious and should have been done like at least a decade ago. I've seen news clips. I saw one today on Twitter, a news clip from 1972 when there was a lot of groups were putting pressure on the Redskins to change their name. And now, finally, with everything going on with social justice this summer, I think it became became such a sore spot and such a black mark for the league and for the team's top sponsors like FedEx and Pepsi. And, you know, Daniel Snyder was just so like pigheaded about this whole thing. And even still, they're like taking their sweet time with it. They're still using the Redskins name in the letterhead, and they're talking about we still have to do a review and this and that. And I don't know. After observing Daniel Snyder and the way he's run that team for 20 years, I have zero faith that he's going to run this, you know, smoothly and come up with a good, well-respected answer. I don't know. I just he's been so pigheaded about the whole thing from the start. It's certainly about time, but you know, they get no kudos for doing this. This is a move that should have been done a long time ago.
Well, why do you think, I was going to ask you that, like, why do you think Dan Snyder was so adamant about keeping a name that was so obviously insensitive and inappropriate?
Yeah, I don't quite understand it, because you would think if you change the name, A, you're doing the right thing and you generate a lot of goodwill by doing that with your sponsors, with your fan base. And you think you could sell a lot of stuff too and make a lot of money off of a new name, but he was entrenched, and I don't know if they had like studies that said the Redskins name was very profitable for them or something, or he just, you know, was listening to a certain faction of the fan base that was, you know, going to get upset and revolt if he changed the Redskins team name. Guys, I grew up in the D.C. area. The Skins were my team in the, you know, in the 80s and 90s and 2000s, and I am so grateful that they changed the name, and it was embarrassing. And, you know, as I said, long past due, and just because they changed the name doesn't affect, you know, some of the great memories and the Super Bowl teams and all that. So it's amazing that it took this long, but at least they're finally doing it.
Well, and Ben, you mentioned they're taking their time with it. Now, I am sure they want to make sure they pick the best name and logo possible, but is there any timetable as to when they would like this to get done officially?
The Redskins have definitely not stated anything publicly. I've read some articles about how when other teams change their name, it takes like a year to, you know, finally settle on a name and a logo. And, you know, it's not exactly something you can come up with overnight. So I'm curious to see what the Redskins do and if they do, in fact, have it for this season. I think the NFL and all the sponsors certainly want the Redskins to be done with their name by the start of the season in September. And Daniel Snyder, it's not like he's putting, you know, like a team. I don't think he's putting like a team of marketing experts or anything on this. It's like him and Coach Ron Rivera, who's a football coach. He's a football coach.
He has to be so angry that he got thrown into this thing.
Like he's a football coach who's been there for 20 minutes and suddenly he's in charge of, you know, coming up with rebranding the team as quoting Snyder for the next 100 years. So, you know, no idea how this thing is going to go, but they do have some good options. And of the ones I've seen, I like Red Wolves. It's an animal. It's completely disassociated with the Native American imagery. It's an endangered species. And it was also the name of like a helicopter squadron in the Navy for 40 or 50 years. So you can honor some military, you can honor an endangered species, and you can get away from the Native American imagery. So I like Red Wolves.
Yeah, now I think that the name Redskins was probably like the most blatantly problematic out of sports team names out there. But do you think, Ben, that this might be like a sign of things to come, that we may also see teams like the Cleveland Indians or the Atlanta Braves or even some colleges like the Florida State Seminoles or the Chippewas maybe reconsider? Now, I think that some of those at least you can say are like terms of respect, but do you think that we might be reaching a time now where more of these teams and colleges start to change their names and mascots?
Yeah, I think there's certainly a reckoning and people are realizing just kind of how insensitive it is. And I know in some cases, like I'm pretty sure at Florida State, they have permission from the Seminole tribe to use the name. So like then that should be okay, I would assume. And, you know, I don't know how the Chippewas and other teams, I don't know what relationships and agreements they have, but I think I read a piece in Washington Post just a couple hours ago. People want the Texas Rangers name to be changed because they realized black people in their early days of the Texas Rangers. And, you know, I kind of go back to it like I'm Jewish. And if there was a team called the Washington Jews, I probably wouldn't be too into it. So I think teams are all going to start, you know, assessing whether it's right to be called the Chiefs or the Braves or the Indians, and whether they should just, you know, finally recognize that these names can be offensive to certain people, and it's just sports, so why are we trying to offend them with our team names?
Yep, very well said. Ben Volen, again, covers the NFL and the Patriots for the Boston Globe. Let me segue into actual on-the-field stuff that might affect us here in Miami. We haven't talked to you since Cam Newton joined the Patriots. How's that going to work?
How are you feeling about that one? You're probably feeling pretty good about the Patriots like losing this year, and now they got Cam Newton. So how are you feeling?
Right. So I still maintain what I said when you guys lost Tom Brady, which is I feel like this magic dust that the Patriots had for so long is still gone. I love that the Dolphins are still the biggest long shot in the AFC East to win the division, because I think that division is up for grabs. I just don't know what Cam Newton has left. I know that he played, what did he play, 8 games in the last 2 seasons? or 16 games in the last two seasons. It was like, I mean, he's missed a lot of games. He's obviously not himself. And now you're going to have less time to practice and stay in shape, or it's incumbent upon the athlete himself to stay in shape. I don't know. I'm just not buying into it. I mean, it's better than Stidham, but I'm just not buying into it.
All right, a lot to unpack there, Hawk. First of all, I agree with you. I agree with you about the Dolphins. I think they're probably the second best team in the AFC East. I like them better than the Bills this year. I definitely like them better than the Jets. I think the Dolphins, I like what Flores and Greer are building there. I like Tua. I like what they did in free agency, like Byron Jones, Kyle Van Noy. So I definitely like the Dolphins this year as far as being a surprise team and being feisty and competitive. However, I love the Cam Newton signing for the Patriots. And you're right. He's been hurt the last couple of years. He hurt his shoulder. He's having a phenomenal 2018 season when they brought in North Turner. I think he had like 19 touchdowns against four picks. And then he hurt his shoulder in a game against the Steelers and was never the same after that. Then he comes back last year, and he actually injures his foot in a preseason game against the Patriots of all teams, and he tries to play through it, and he only makes it two games, and he's finally out for the season. So no question, foot injury, shoulder injury, not good for a quarterback, and he's taken a ton of hits, and he's been banged up. He also kind of, I think time has been on his side here. It's now 2 years since the shoulder injury. It's now 7-8 months since the foot injury, since he finally got surgery to fix it. So I think they're getting a hungry Cam Newton and someone who's going to be just motivated beyond belief. I mean, you're seeing all these hype videos that he's posting to Twitter now. You know, he's working. The Patriots got him on a minimum contract. This couldn't be more insulting for a former MVP. And he's just so adamant about proving himself and getting a big contract after this year. So the Patriots made no investment. They got a potential, you know, top 10 caliber quarterback, a guy who's still only 31 years old. And I think it's going to be a good fit with Josh McDaniels and the Patriots. So assuming that it's a normal season, and who knows how this thing's going to go. But I like this marriage a lot with Cam Newton and the Patriots.
Now, if we look at like the hypothetical worst case scenario for Cam, if he doesn't stay healthy this year, what is your scouting report on Jarrett Stidham if he does end up getting extended playing time?
Well, I've seen him throw four passes in a regular season game. And one of them was a pick six to Jamal Adams, and all four of those passes were in garbage time. So he's never played before. He looked pretty good last preseason. He looked like he belonged. He beat out Brian Hoyer for the backup job. I was never buying, I'm sure I said it on your show at some point, I was never buying the fact like that Bill was just going to hand the job over to Jarrett Stidham. Now, after the draft, and they didn't take anyone, it certainly looked like he was going to be the guy, but it just seemed weird that he was, after 20 years of Tom Brady, they're just going to give it to some fourth round pick who's never played before. He's got some mobility. He's got a good arm. They liked the way he ran the scout team last year when Brady had to sit out some practices because of age and you know, saving his body. They liked what Stidham did, but they still went and got Cam Newton. So, I don't think Belichick by any means is ready to hand the team over to Jarrett Stidham. But, you know, with COVID-19, you're going to need quarterbacks this year. Guys are going to get sick, and who knows what happens. So you've got Cam and Jarrett Stidham and Brian Hoyer. That's actually, I think, a pretty good 1-2-3 with some experience and guys who know the system. And then if Cam Newton's anything close, if he's 80 to 90% of what he used to be, that he could be a pretty dangerous player for them.
Ben Volen from the Boston Globe. You mentioned COVID. You wrote something in the Boston Globe about what the NFL is expecting when it comes to positive COVID tests, when camps start coming around again. So what are they expecting, and what's going to be the plan of action? I mean, we know Russell Westbrook today tested positive, and Kevin Durant has tested positive before. Number of NBA players, number of MLB. I mean, it's going to happen in the NFL. So what is going to be the protocol?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And if you look at the other sports, as the players kind of return from the outside world and report to their teams, you know, anywhere from 2-5% of players are testing positive for the virus. So I think you have to extrapolate that for the NFL. I mean, these guys are out there working out and being out in public and whatever. And so when they report in a couple of weeks, there's going to be dozens, if not hundreds, of guys around the league testing positive for COVID. I think it's good. Now the NFL, this is crucial. There's 2 weeks to go and they still have so much they have to negotiate, including the testing, how often guys are going to be tested, what happens when someone tests positive. I mean, all that is still being negotiated right now. However, most likely I mean, certainly 100%, everyone will be tested at least once before they're allowed in the building. My guess is they'll be tested twice a few days apart because you want to account for false negatives, things of that nature. You don't want to let people in the building with the virus. The whole point of the NFL is, you know, frequent testing and quarantining guys who have it and wearing masks and social distancing so that the virus doesn't take root in the facility. The last thing you can have is when you're just trying to start out in July, have a team facility, have, you know, the virus take hold and spread, and that ruins the whole plan. So the first like week of camp might just be about testing guys and making, you know, weeding out all the players who have it, keeping them away from the team facility for 2 weeks and just making sure that the virus doesn't take root. So all of the procedures are still being negotiated, but I mean, it's a huge part. I mean, for them to have any chance of pulling off a season, they've got to have a clean start. And so they have to find every case that they can when the players start reporting.
You know, Ben, every day it's looking more and more likely that there, you know, may not be college football in the fall, but probably will still be NFL. And if that's the case, we might actually see Chris Fowler and Kirk Herbstreit do Monday Night Football on ESPN this year. Do you think they're going to hit it out of the park? If that's the case, will it be weird for you watching potentially the college guys calling NFL games?
Not really. I mean, you know, they move announcers around all the time, and I think Fowler and Herbstreit are two of the best. And I know ESPN, I think they've been trying to get Herbstreit on Monday Night Football for a little while now, and he has not been as receptive to it. You know, it's a much different travel schedule with college football. He's got a pretty good gig going on there. But, yeah, that'll be interesting. They've not been able to find a duo that works, but Chris Fowler is just, you know, smooth and professional, and someone we've been listening call college football and tennis and all kinds of events over several years. So, that will be cool. It'll be interesting if there's no college football. Like, the NFL is going to have to come up with contingencies, because if you look at what's happening around the country right now, like Florida, where it's exploding, and Texas and Arizona, you know, maybe they bring games to sites where there aren't as many positive tests. Like, we're doing well in Massachusetts, so why couldn't you just move some games to Gillette Stadium and have the team stay in the hotels here and play the game in a safer environment and then go back to their homes or whatever? Or why, if it's doing well in Michigan and, you know, there's no Michigan football, go play in Ann Arbor. Like, there are other facilities around the country. So the NFL is going to have to come up with a lot of different contingencies. And if it keeps going the way it's going, where it's spiking in places across the country, they're going to have to use some of these contingencies, because I don't think they're going to be able to play games in cities where the virus is raging out of control.
Right, because the season is long enough where you're going to have spikes in a certain area. And so while you might not have a scheduled plan, you're going to have to bob and weave as the season goes on if you want to get every game in, which I'm imagining that they do. Real quick here, Ben Volen, you can read his work, bostonglobe.com or on the Boston Globe app. Ben Volen, today is National French Fry Day. Where are the best French fries?
Popeyes. I love the Popeyes curly fries.
Really?
The Cajun curly fries are really good.
Over the Hooters curly fries? Because Hooters is on my Mount Rushmore French fries, because their curly fries, to me, are the supreme curly fries. You have to order them well done. You have to tell them well done, or else they're a little too soggy, which can cause an uncurl. And you don't want your curly fry to uncurl. So if you order them well done, Hooters. So you go with the Popeyes, huh?
Well, it's funny you say that, because when you said Hooters fries, that was my exact first thought, was that they come out glistening in oil and a little soggy. And I mean, if you have to order them, if you have to tell them well done, then to me, that's not a good fry. Like, it should.
That's a fair criticism right there. It should come out naturally delicious.
Right.
But I have given you a Hooters hack now. Now you know that you can order them well done. It'll change your life.
Well, I have my frequent member card there. I get the punch card, you know.
I've got no shame. I've got no shame in going to Hooters on a fairly regular basis. I happen to like their wings, and I love their fries. And you know what I really like? Their chili.
Yum. Nice. It's a little hot for chili right now, though. But
never too hot for chili for me. I'm just a big fan of chili.
I mean, if you're going for a basic fry, it's hard to top McDonald's. I think their fries are tremendous, but
totally
Popeyes.
I agree.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm not a fan of the Wendy's. The Wendy's fries are a little too thick. I like a thinner fry.
Yeah.
So I can
Burger
go all day
King
on
always, Burger King has always had bad fries.
Oh, terrible.
Disagree.
I don't like Wendy's fries.
When they double fried them, those were good.
What? Those double fried fries were awful. Oh, my God. Burger King has never been able to do French fries.
Disagree. I was a big fan of those double coated French fries, like double heart attacks.
Oh, they were so bad. I cannot believe. Don't you miss being able to supersize, though, at McDonald's? That was the best.
I had McDonald's not long ago and was shocked. It feels like they've shrunk the portions. I got a 10-piece nugget.
They have.
And, like, they were, like, tiny. I was shocked at how small the nuggets were now.
Yeah. But now the nuggets are all white meat. Remember, it used to contain, like, beaks and talons and stuff.
Yeah.
I remember when McNuggets first came out. Because when I was a kid is when they first got introduced. I was probably, like, 9 or 10 years old. Chicken McNuggets were introduced. And out of the 6 McNuggets, 2 of them would always be like giblets and beaks and
there'd always be one nugget that was like purple. It had like the purple.
Yes,
meat in it.
Yes, yeah. But now it's all white meat. I happen to like McDonald's chicken McNuggets. I've got no shame in my very simple palate.
Well, I'm with you, man. My guilty pleasure meal is a 20-piece. So,
what a pleasure. All right, Ben Volen, read his work at the Boston Globe, bostonglobe.com. Thank you for making time for us, Ben.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
There you go, Ben Volen, Boston Globe. Let's take a break here on National French Fry Day, and we'll come back with more Hockman and Crowder.
This is the Hock and Crowder Show.
I want to give you a state of the oven address. The state of my oven is not good.
Do you clean it?
Yeah, I mean, someone cleans it, sure.
You want to see Loco?
Loco Hour on a Monday. So today is National French Fry Day. Without further ado, now if you follow me on Twitter, you've seen this already, but here is my Mount Rushmore of French fries. McDonald's fries. And I'm telling you, if any of y'all have a list of 4 for Mount Rushmore and you don't have McDonald's fries on there, it's go time. Because if you're telling me that they're not in the 4 top fries in French Fryville, we got problems.
French Fryville.
And I would like to live in French Fryville, by the way.
Me too.
McDonald's fries, Steak and Shake, the very thin and crispy fries at Steak and Shake. The only problem with it is they keep the Steak and Shake restaurants too cold. And the fries, they don't retain their warmth long enough. That's something different. Hooters, curly fries, well done. I just talked about that with Ben Volen. And Chickies and Pete's crab fries, which are ubiquitous, you know, all around the Philadelphia area. Chickies and Pete's are everywhere, Jersey Shore. The only place to get them in Florida is at the BB&T Center, a Panthers game, section 119. There's a Chickies and Pete's. You can get the cheesesteak there, but you can more importantly get their crab fries with the little cheese dipping sauce. So there you go, my 4. And the only, when I tweeted it out this morning, the only one that gave me pause, someone came back at me with Portillo's. And in Chicago, I mean, Portillo's is everywhere. They've got one in Tampa, I know. Portillo's fries are so good because they're kind of the crinkle-cut fries, and they come with a cheese dipping sauce as well. So that gets my honorable mention. But there you go. McDonald's, Steak and Shake, Hooters, Chickies and Pete's. Dono, what do you got for your Mount Rushmore French fries?
Of course, my list starts with McDonald's.
Thank God. Thank God. Let's have a moment.
Yeah, they are the gold standard, okay?
Yes.
Next on my list, I really love the Miami Subs fries. Not the Nathan's fries that they also have, but their regular seasoned fries. They serve them in a cup, which is more fun. I'm a big fan of seasoned fries. I love the Miami Subs fries.
The delivery device for the fries makes a difference. Five Guys, to me, the fries are better because they're in a paper bag.
Right.
And I love the taste of French fries out of a paper bag. And I'm with you, out of the cup. The cup makes a big difference, but yeah, not Miami Subs or Miami Grill for me, no.
And you tease the next one on my list, Five Guys. Though I don't go there that often because I think their burgers are just a bit too greasy for my taste, but the fries are the highlight for me. I love the vehicle they serve them in, and I love the fact that they basically throw an entire extra scoop in your bag. Like, it's gluttonous the way that they serve
really
the fries.
It really is, because they do. They have it in the cup, but then they just start shoveling more fries in the bag.
It's so great.
A pleasure, yeah.
And my final one, very controversial, because I know some people say the fries here suck, and I think they kind of do, but there's a catch. if you get the In-N-Out Burger fries animal style with the spread on top, then I'm all over it. Like, if you just serve me their plain thin-cut fries, they get cold and dry way too quickly. But if you serve it with the animal style, which is like some combination of Thousand Island onions and cheese, whatever they put in there, I am all over it, and I love it.
Yeah, Doug Plagans tweeted at me this morning, In-N-Out is the top of the list for him. I don't like their fries. Their fries, you have to order well done as well. I'm not even a big fan of their fries animal style, to be quite honest. I don't even think they're very good. But a solid list, I think, up until then. Alejandro Solana, what is your Mount Rushmore of French fries? National French Friday. Somebody texting in, by the way, I don't know if I'm stealing any of your thunder, Solana. Someone, a lot of people texting in, waffle fries at Chick-fil-A. Here's my problem, and I like a good waffle fry. You go to Chick-fil-A, you're going to get the little pack of fries. Two to three of them are going to be perfect. They're going to be perfectly cooked. They're going to be perfectly tasting. But the rest of the fries in the Chick-fil-A thing are going to be either undercooked, not waffled enough. It's going to be the butt end of the potato. It's a crapshoot with them.
They're
always dry.
Like there's something about their fries. They're dry. And if I dip them in enough Chick-fil-A sauce, they're good. But just to me, I don't know. I'm not a big fan of their fries, even though I think the waffle makes it more fun looking, but they're just not that good.
I think two or three of them are great. If they were all like the good two or three, I'd have it on the Mount Rushmore. But unfortunately, they're not. Alejandro Solana.
Arby's first on my list.
They're good.
Arby's. Yep, interesting. Now, if I was getting a potato item at Arby's, I would get the potato cake. Do they even have those anymore?
Never heard of a potato cake.
You never had the Arby's potato cake?
Never had the Arby's potato cake. Don't even know what is a potato cake?
It was kind of their version of a latke almost. I mean, it was kind of their version of a potato pancake. That's what they were known for. You're telling me they don't have potato cakes at Arby's anymore?
I could be mistaken. I only go to Arby's for French fries. I don't get anything else. I don't consider anything else on the menu. I'm looking at Arby's.
Yeah, they've still got the potato cakes there.
Really?
Yeah. Oh my God. If you're getting a potato item at Arby's, it better be the potato cake.
Arby's widely considered the best French fry out of the fast food chains. I'm gonna have to disagree with you.
They are really good. Yeah. I mean,
I haven't been there in 100 years.
I had Arby's like 3 or 4 months ago, and I was kind of underwhelmed with the sandwich that I got, but the fries are always perfect.
Yeah, the curly fries hit different at Arby's.
Interesting. All right.
Yeah.
Next on my list, sweet potato fries at Flanagan's.
Oh, stop it. I mean, sweet potato fries on a Mount Rushmore of French fried potatoes.
Sweet potato fries at Flanagan's are elite. A lot of people get fooled. They think the curly fries at Flanagan's are the best French fries to eat at Flanagan's. You're wrong. The sweet potato fries.
I've done this take a number of times. It gets people outraged. A sweet potato fry is never, never preferable to a regular French fry. Period.
Amen.
End of story.
On your list.
If you have fooled yourself, you're hypnotized by the sweet potato lobby. There's no chance that after you order sweet potato fries, you've had a couple of them, you're not secretly wishing to yourself, man, I wish I had just gotten regular French fries. It always happens. Everybody always thinks they're being healthier. And then, by the way, to be healthier, you got to dip it in marshmallow sauce to make it good. I mean, I'm going to be healthy. I'm going to order the sweet potato fries. Can I get an extra marshmallow sauce with that? Like, what? What are you doing? Yeah, the sweet potato fries are garbage. Garbage. They get cold very easily. They get soggy very easily. So already your list is discarded. But go ahead.
Again, your list may not consider sweet potato fries.
I'm telling you, sweet potato fries are never on a Mount Rushmore of French fries, period. Because you could never have a sweet potato fry. There's never four worse. It doesn't make sense. The math doesn't add up.
It's weird because you're saying sweet potato fries can't be on a Mount Rushmore. I'm making my Mount Rushmore, and voila, sweet potato fries have made an appearance. So it's weird.
Okay.
I'm telling you it's wrong. It's weird.
And I am the caretaker for Mount Rushmore, so it's wrong.
Let's continue here with the definitive Mount Rushmore of French fries. Burger King.
Oh, God.
All right. Now he's just goofing around.
But I made this take a couple weeks ago. People like to hate on Burger King French fries just because
they're bad.
No, it's like the cool thing to do. Burger King.
They're not good.
Burger King has upped their French fry game. They are now at the top of the traditional fast food French fries. I'm telling you, Burger King.
No, I've had them. My kid, I stopped there the other day. He's got the SAT prep course. There's a Burger King. He likes their chicken fries. Got a chicken fry meal. And I said, you know, I got to try these French fries because I've never been impressed with Burger King French fries. And they're bad. Like, they're just, they're still not good. So I don't know where you're coming up with that they've raised their game.
Finally, waffle fries at Pollo Tropical.
Do they have waffle fries?
They do.
Yeah, they're amazing.
At every Pollo Tropical?
Every Pollo Tropical has waffle fries.
They're not
fries.
That good.
I mean, what's happening here? You guys are over-critiquing my list. Waffle fries at Pollo Tropical, far better than the waffle fries at Chick-fil-A. People don't know that, but
no,
they're
but
far better.
That's not even like a top five side I would get at Pollo Tropical because they have like all the different
the
kinds
yuca.
Of rice.
They've got the yuca
beans.
Bites. They've got the
they
sweet plantains.
Yuca. Yeah.
We're not
yeah,
talking
like
about.
They've
we're
got tostones.
We're not talking about the
but,
best
so,
sides
but why,
at Pollo
right,
Tropical.
But why would you ever get their waffle fries?
Because
like,
they're
there's
great.
So many good sides. They've got Nutella empanadas now.
Oh, my God. I love those.
Yeah. I wouldn't get an empanada at Pollo Tropical. I think that's where we... You know, we differ because you guys are going to Pollo Tropical for yuca tots when not even close to being great yuca tots there.
And, well, what are you going there for? He's going there for waffle fries.
Like if you're going there, you go there for no, you go there for what you go there for, which is arroz con frijoles and a piece of chicken and some
right,
waffle
but,
fries.
But why wouldn't fries. You go to why wouldn't you go to the Cuban guys then if you're going to make yeah. this big deal about well you guys go to Pollo Tropical for all the wrong reasons? Like what are you going there for?
Again, the definitive Mount Rushmore French fries: Arby's curly fries, sweet potato fries at Flanagan's, Burger King fries,
it's
and
really
waffle
hard,
fries at Pollo Tropical.
It's really hard to do a Mount Rushmore where you whiffed on all four.
Like, I'll give him the Arby's. The Arby's are good. The rest of them are trash.
I've come up with ones that I've whiffed on one or so, but to whiff on all four. All right, we got to take a break here because we've got the simulcast coming up, and we have a loaded French fried potato for you today on this Monday. So much stuff, you're not even going to know what to do with it. So we endeavor to take all the stations, Papa. The Papa has a whole new meaning on Papa Fritas Day. Hockman and Crowder simulcast is next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.